Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
First, let's just do something a little local first. I did see where the Motor World expansion into the Wyoming Valley Mall has been approved.
All right.
According to the Times Leader, Motor World now one step closer to making a new home at the Wyoming Valley Mall. As the Zoning Hearing Board did approve the first phase of the projected project. So it would take over pretty much a very significant portion of the mall, according to this. Yes. So we already know they're off of Route 315 in Wilkes-Barre.
Right.
So now they have 6 variances, side and rear yard, building and parking setback requirements, a parking lot, landscaping and vegetation requirements, plus those for signage as well. All approved unanimously. No public comment from members of the audience regarding the project. So, specifically, according to the Times Leader, they were given the approval to waive the requirement to plant shade trees on the landscaping islands in order to keep cars for sale that the dealership will have on the lot visible to protect them from vandalism.
So they
used to have to do was put vegetation in those to pretty them up and look nice, but right. They don't want anything blocking a view. They'll have cameras out there. They have vehicles that will be on the property. So
no one said this, but hey, if you want a tree, go to a park or look at a picture.
Anyway, they have to do that as a variance because it was something required. And they say it's the first step in a longer process where the dealership would acquire a portion of the mall, including those areas formerly occupied by Sears and Bon-Ton and areas currently occupied by Macy's Men's and Home and Ken Pollock Tire and Auto Center. They will convert that space into a service car detailing area and also a car wash. And then they'll have some administrative offices in part of the former Bon-Ton.
Yeah, it's a kind of an interesting idea. I mean, they're not that far from that location to begin with. I feel like I read this and I'm tricking myself. Are they leaving the other location or just expanding out?
Expanding.
Okay, yeah. Because, I mean, I think they're going to have such a huge footprint in that area.
Well, they do say in this proposal, there will not be interior access to the mall from the dealership, but Motor World does plan to construct a pedestrian pathway so customers can go between both.
So, that's nice.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's kind of weird. Like if you're in a mall, like, hey, there's the dealership, but they'll have a path.
Yeah, it'd be weird if they were like, we're going to build a wall. No one will cross.
No one shall. You have to know the secret word to get in.
Total side note, but related. Have you ever been to a mall where there's like an outside something and it doesn't have the inside entrance where you can go right in? It's like a restaurant and you're like, wait, what? We have to go outside now?
Yeah.
It's like movie theaters will do that. It's like, to me, that drives me crazy. So kudos to them for thinking about it. Not that anyone's going to the malls right now. That's how we end up in this situation.
That's why we've ended up at a time and place where a dealership is taking over a big, big portion of it.
And Amazon's not necessarily easily delivering cars. So that's something you still have to, for the most part.
Right.
There aren't cars. Oh my God, they do have those delivery services. But still, that's a big deal. And it's going to.
So they've gotten through hurdle one. And we shall see about that. Meanwhile, we can get back to the national story. There's so much coming out about this suspected killer in the United Healthcare CEO killing. I'm just still like in somewhat of a disbelief over the fact that there's so much more support seems to be coming out for someone who decided that murdering somebody was the way to take action. A banner referencing the killing of that CEO has appeared in Baltimore over southbound Interstate 83, hanging on an overpass Tuesday, just south of what is known as Cold Spring Lane.
Yep.
The banner reads, "Deny, defend, depose, and health care for all." I totally understand people saying we need to fix the system. So healthcare for all, that would be fine if you put that up without putting in what was written on the bullets. Were those the three words on the bullets, or was that the ones from the book? I'm confused.
They were close to those, I believe, are the ones from the bullets.
Yeah. So, something happened, obviously, to this person to trigger such a bizarre turnaround. I mean, all indications are that, first, he's had a privileged upbringing. He's Ivy League educated. He was a valedictorian at some $40,000 a year private school. He had what you would think would be a good paying career. He had, by all indications, it seems, some kind of an issue with his spine and may have had an injury which made it worse when he was in Hawaii. I mean, again, we don't have all the information here, but he pretty much disappeared from the lives of those who knew him the most within about 6 month period. And his family, 16 days prior to this murder, had actually put out a missing persons on him.
So it's obviously concern about where he was, what he was doing.
When it's not normal for somebody to just completely change behavior, it sounds like mentally he had a break of some sort. It's pretty possible that when we see this thing go to trial, and it'll take a while, there may be a push for a reason of insanity or something. And I've seen a number of legal experts yesterday talking about that. Look, the evidence against him is so overwhelming.
Are you sure about that? Have you heard his lawyer? What his lawyer is saying? I heard it yesterday.
He was quoting from like some airplane movie. I mean, his lawyer is a little whack.
Is whack. Literally said, I should get the audio because I was like, this guy's... He's like literally saying, I have seen no evidence that he did anything. And it seems like they arrested him with the manifesto. I know that's what they said.
The point is, if he had this information on him, if they have DNA that links to him, I mean, he will be with everything that was found on him, if it all matches up.
Right.
Which would look very likely. The only defense that he would have, other than just saying, no, I think this is the right thing to do.
Right.
And I mean, look, there's a chance he could have just said, I'm going to do something bad, so I'm going to go hide from everybody and I'm in my right mind. There's a chance of that. On the other hand, there's also a chance that something triggered him or he had some kind of a spiral mentally. Right. We don't know his medical condition outside of the back. I mean, we don't know mentally. Was he on any kind of medication? Sometimes when people are on medications and abruptly stop them, there's a lot of things that could go on here.
None of it should get you to the point where you're going to lash out and murder someone.
You don't know that. That has happened.
But none of them. You should never get to that point where that is like a reasonable reaction or what you're doing.
No, it's not reasonable at all. But the fact that some people are actually there are people who will say that decisions these folks make in these companies are killing people.
Right.
And that's where they go, well, where's all the sympathy for the people that are harmed by the terrible decisions they make? I can understand you saying you are responsible if you run a company for the things that happen when you're with that company. That's why if there's recalls for things that harm people, if you work at a company and there's a problem. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, the way to fix the system is to work to fix the system, not to resort to violence, because lawlessness will only lead to more people taking matters into their own hands. And that is the slippery slope where you will then have people making all kinds of excuses.
Right. We're seeing things.
I mean, I get that you're frustrated or you're upset with the system. This is where you lobby your senators, your congresspeople, you run for office yourself, you stand up for something you believe in. Look at the things that people have fought for. And it's taken decades in some cases when you think about civil rights or women's rights, the right to vote, which at one time we did not have. These are not things where you immediately, and look, I'm not saying immediately, this is a problem that's been going on, where you just decide to, I don't like it, I'm going to kill somebody. Like, that's not how we do things. That's not how we do things.
Being able to put yourself in someone else's shoes is hard for people, like empathy, just to know what they're dealing with. I mean, we all have thoughts. You lose your job, you think, oh, someday they'll lose their job. They'll know what this is like. You don't go, oh, I lost my job, I hope they get killed. Or like the rationale doesn't make sense to me. And I can't justify it. I can understand where you're coming from. There's such a thick black line right down the middle. Like, you can understand why someone would be angry. You can understand how someone would want that change. I look at the parents from the Parkland shooting. They're not going out there trying to prove their point by killing other people.
Right.
But we totally understand if they did, you'd be like, I mean, I get it. They lost their children. In this situation, I just can't. And so many are justifying it. People I like and I've known for years, I don't understand it, and I don't think I ever will. And I hope this isn't the beginning of, oh, this is how we get people to deal with our issues and problems we have.
Right.
Because that's not a world I want to live in.
No. No, I don't want to live in a world where people just say, look, it's not easy to fight for things. It, through history, imagine. There were people who fought for civil rights or women's rights, whatever they may be, and died and never had them.
Right.
Like, fought all their life. It's a long, sometimes slog, and it can be frustrating. But it can be done. It just has to be done through proper channels, and this is not the way to do it. However, I do have to say, that as a society, this is something that elected leaders need to pay attention to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because while you and I, many people will say this is not appropriate, if you don't take control of things when they're going bad for people, people will take care of it themselves. And that's how you have governments that fall into anarchy or people that get so angry at the people in charge that there are revolutions through history. I'm talking about, I'm not talking about like right now, but I'm saying that for elected leaders to see this and to see that people are empathetic, that is a warning sign to pay attention, because even though rational people will say this is not appropriate, if you don't address the problem and it continues to get worse, that kind of thinking will grow. The kind of thinking that says, you don't want to take care of the problem, we are going to. I don't agree with this at all, but I want our elected leaders to pay attention, because there's something out there where people are fed up with a system where they may have coverage, and many of you may have coverage and not had to use it. And when you use it and you find out that it can break you financially, it's very frustrating. Text message. Oh, look at this. Nancy, you're 100% right. Even though the shooting was terrible, hopefully the benefit to come about it will be look at how the insurance companies deny coverage in certain situations that drastically affect patients and their families. All right. If you missed before, in no way, shape or form was I supporting anyone use violence. I believe that you go through, obviously, the proper channels. You can protest, you can lobby your elected leaders, or you yourself can run for office. There are many things you can do to fight the system. It's not easy.
No.
However, what I said is that our elected leaders should pay attention to the fact that there's a portion of the population that are looking at this man who gunned down and killed a UnitedHealthcare CEO, that they're looking at him as a sympathetic sort of anti-hero. There was a banner over I-83 talking about healthcare for all and had the deny, depose, whatever the other word was on the bullets. Our elected leaders need to pay attention, because while we may be disturbed by the fact that people are, you know, showing support for a person accused of murder, it's showing you that there's a level of anger out there at the system that needs to be addressed. And it's not being addressed.
No.
So I would hope that they will, because my fear is that there's this like balancing act that we always have. And we took for granted for so many years, right, that usually reasonable, rational things bear out. But
it's not where we are right now.
No, we're in a different place. And there's almost this like this fascination that people have with bad people. And this whole ends justify the means kind of thing. And I don't want to see that, because this is where you end up with societies falling apart, right? Where you have an anger from the people at the bottom, so to speak. When I say bottom, I just mean, look, if you're an elected leader, you have Cadillac coverage. If you have lots of money, these are things that do not affect you. Oh, I can't afford that test with my insurance. I'll just pay out of pocket. Right. So they don't understand that what the rest of us have to deal with. So I just hope that they pay attention, because when you do have that anger that doesn't get addressed, it only grows. And then there will be unrest.
Just to compare it to something absurd that feels like, there's a reason the Joker takes over Gotham, because there's so much chaos that people are like, well, let's let the crazy guy do what he wants to do, because that's better than what we're living in. If we get to that point, that fiction kind of morphs into reality. We don't want that.
Yeah, scary.
But some people are just like, well, something at least would change. No, that's not how it works, or at least how it shouldn't work. And it's terrifying.
Yes, it's scary that it's out there, but there is an anger and there is something that should be done with a system that allows companies making a lot of money off the backs of people's health. And that's the one thing that I will always disagree with. In a capitalist society, I get it. You can sell many products and services and make a lot of money. I just don't think you should be doing it on the backs of whether people live or die.
It is
so that should not happen.
And again, just to double or triple down on that, it is a very real problem we need to deal with, but a very, that's the absolute 100% wrong attempt at a solution. That song, Burning Down the House, reminded me about what it feels like 10 years from now. That'll be a common reaction when the mortgage company says you're late. We'll just burn everyone's homes down. That seems like, because we're lashing out. This is the way we handle things. Mm. They want, like, I don't understand.
This is not the way we handle things, right? But the fact that there's some portion of the public sympathetic to violence as an answer to issues today, it's very concerning.
Yeah, I mean, look, again, people have lashed out for centuries. I went to high school with a kid who was in our friend circle loosely. I don't say that to distance myself from him, but he was kind of on the fringe. And we lost touch with him. And then he shows up in the newspaper one day. I guess he bought a car and then he didn't like the service. So he shot the dealership up with a BB gun. It's not how you handle things.
Well,
nobody saw him as a hero, but we all kind of understood what it was like to have bad customer service. You know what I mean? Like, you can understand what could push someone to that limit.
Solution to a problem. I think most of us can admit that there's a problem.
Yeah.
The solution is for the people that we put into positions of power to do something about it. And when it comes to healthcare, when you look at the amount of claims that get denied, or the hurdles you have to go through to get anything addressed. I mean, I don't know of a bill. I think maybe, I'm getting the bills for myself and my daughter and my husband at the house, because we have the health insurance here through work. And I don't know of one that I've gotten where I haven't had to get on the phone and say, what is this about? And probably half of the time it's, oh, wait, something happened. Give it another month. Like, you know, you get the collections. And you're like, wait, now they're asking me to collect. But they're going to collect if you know, report it. Oh, no, we figured it out. But there's always a problem. And so, you know, you have to fight a lot of times to get things either covered or to find out why something was coded a certain way. I literally had to go back 3 times for one test that they needed. I had to go back and they told me which code I needed. Then I had to call the person who ordered it and tell them, I'm telling them what code to write down. It shouldn't be this complicated. And that's just trying to get the coverage. Imagine the people that are broke, can't afford the whether it's the surgery or the medicines or whatever it may be.
I often wonder, as I sit here thinking, maybe we're wrong just even calling it the health care or health insurance, health care, because it really is health related billing management. They're going to basically tell you what in your health you have to pay for and then expect you to pay for it.
And good luck trying to find out ahead of time.
Oh, and that's only if you pay them in advance. So you give them a lot of money up front and they'll tell you what you still get to pay.
It's not like you can go and say, how much am I going to pay on this? Because they don't normally even have an idea for you. I've asked before and sometimes some places will and other places won't. Violence is not the answer. I personally, and I've said it since even before the whole Obamacare thing went into place, I say Medicare for all. I get it. You'll have to pay more. But we're already paying, I know I am, a significant portion of my salary is going towards health insurance. It is. And Medicare is something that when people are on it, are pretty happy with it.
I had it for a bit when I first got back to Northeast.
Medicaid?
Medicaid. Yeah, because I was unemployed at the time until I made a call and Nancy was like, hey, you want to come in for... but I did that. And I remember thinking to myself, this is not... Because I had really good insurance and then I didn't. Or so I thought. It wasn't bad. Like, it was the same insurance that everyone else had, except I didn't pay anything. And it was...
I believe in it. I believe in Medicare for all. I think we're at that time where other countries, they look at what we pay and they think we're insane. They think we're insane. They're like, how do you people even live, raise a family when you're spending that kind of money for healthcare? Things that would cost a tenth of what they cost here.
I've learned this over the last 7 years. Whenever I say I did the Medicaid thing when I was out of work, I have to follow it up with. And then I got a job and I started getting health care again. I didn't live off the government, even though we all put our money in for situations like that when you need it, because it turns into this like, you're a freeloader. It's like, oh, my God, this is why we put our money into these things. So if you need them, they're there to help you, boost you out of these things. Mm-hmm. I'm just giddy because you said we'll do something silly. And I have a big button here that says silly. Do I click that? Is that what we have to do?
Silly. We want silly. Guess what? 2 weeks until Christmas Day. Are you folks ready for it? Coming up, I did find a list. And I'm just going to read a few of them.
Is it the naughty list?
No, it's just a list of what people said. And I think it was on, Yahoo. But they looked at the best Christmas gifts. And I'm just going to give you a few of them. And I looked up and I thought, wow, that's cool. I didn't even think of that. So just some ideas.
Oh, gift
for people.
Ideas.
Yeah, gift ideas.
Oh, okay, coming up. Mm-hmm. All right, later.
But right now we're going to
push
celebrate.
The silly button.
The silly button is being pressed, Johnny Lucas. So that means we got to make sure this goes on the air.
Here we go.
I want a hippopotamus for Christmas.
I know this guy.
Only a hippopotamus will do. I don't want a doll.
No.
No dinky tinker toy.
Yeah.
I want a hippopotamus to play with and enjoy. I want a hippopotamus for Christmas.
A little off the beat.
I don't think Santa Claus will mind, do you? He won't have to use a dirty chimney flue. Just bring him through the front door. That's the easy thing to do. I want a hippopotamus for Christmas.
How's he going to get to that door?
Only a hippopotamus will do. No crocodile, no rhinoceroses. I only like hippopotamuses. And hippopotamuses like me too.
Nice to meet you, sir. Is that the hippopotamuses you married? Mm-hmm.
Is it a hippopotamus-i?
Hippopotami.
A hippopotamu. Nice job, Johnny Lucas. That was Elton Johnny Lucas, and the album is called... What is it again?
I don't know. I never liked the name because I never remember.
Lucasmus.
Yeah.
Something like a...
I have to update that this year. I want lug nuts for Christmas.
I know you need your lug nuts to be fixed because they've got to burn them off. Get that tire off your car.
How bad do you have to be to get lug nuts? Coal's always been the standard.
So they can't get the tire off. They don't have the ability to do it other than burn it off, right?
Yeah, the one tire.
Why is this an issue? And how come you haven't asked me? I have connections in the automobile repair. It's my neighbor, Brian. He's a mechanic. He knows people.
Oh, if he could have fixed this after everything poor Johnny Lucas has gone through, that would help.
I'll text him. What do you need? You need lug nuts removed?
A locking lug nut removed.
A what?
A locking lug nut. Removed.
They said a walking lug nut. I'm like, what the hell's a walk? I don't even know what a lug nut is.
If it would walk away, it would help him a lot. He wouldn't need to do anything.
When Johnny said he wanted to recut that song, I thought it was like, does he know something that's like it's not politically correct to sing about things like that anymore? No, you want to change your gift. All right.
Yes. All right. Speaking of gifts.
Yeah.
I found this list because I thought, you know what? A lot of times I hear people go, hey, what am I going to buy? What should I do?
Lug nuts.
Now, this I thought was really interesting. This is called the 12 South Airfly Pro Bluetooth Wireless Audio Transmitter. It's very simple.
Sounds like it.
It has the little tiny connector. What is this thing? This one. Hold on, Jason. The littlest one. What's that? Is that 1/8?
I think it's the... Oh, geez. Yeah.
it's one of those connectors. And basically what it is so let's just say you're on an airplane and your seatmate near you that you want to both listen to the same thing. You plug this thing into... you can plug the Bluetooth adapter into the airplane seat's audio jack.
Okay.
And it pairs if you have iPods or, you know, if you're watching something on your screen... And then your seatmate can just Bluetooth in and you're listening to the same thing together. So it allows you to share what you're listening to with someone else there. So it's like a Bluetooth on the go kind of thing. That's for people who fly or travel a lot. That's a pretty cool idea.
Not the pilots. Pay attention.
All right. The list, NetView, NETVUE. And it's by BirdFi Smart Bird Feeder. This is really cool. It's a bird feeder with a camera in it.
Oh, okay, cool.
So it's really awesome. What you do is the birds come out to eat, and it has a little camera that you can then look at and see the birds up close on your phone. It captures photos, videos. Yeah. You can live connect right in. Literally in the middle of, you can see all the bird seed around it, and there's a camera there. So you get
What's it called again? It's a
beak view. NetView. NETVUE. By BirdFi. FY.
Nest view, maybe? It's a bird. Does it record? Nest view. I want to see if it records, because if not, you have to spend your time following this thing, and hopefully you see a bird.
I think it's really cute.
I like that if I can. Yeah.
Yeah. Then there's also, I've seen these before. Do you see the Ember Temperature Control Smart Mug? So basically, it's like a self-heating mug. And it can revolutionize your morning coffee routine. Brew your drink, set the ideal temperature, 120 to 145. So basically, you put the coffee in the mug on the little stand, and it will stay hot. You pick it up, sip, put it back down. It's going to stay hot. You can sip for hours, although most people just glug it down. I thought it was cool.
How much? Hang on. Smart. The only thing that I don't find smart about these, like the smart mug, it keeps it heated. 80-minute battery life for me, not long enough. $90, that's the sale price right now. That's a lot for a smart mug.
I mean, that's on sale because it was $125. So there you go.
The price, not smart for me, but okay. That's cool. I'm down with that, I think.
Yeah. There's barbecue grill lights. You know, if you like to grill at night, you could attach it to the grill. There's the headlight beanie. You know, a lot of people doing stuff in the dark, I guess.
For doing things in the dark. Like, pretend you and your friends are cars and run around with the headlight beanie.
God. Hey, 1,000 theaters worldwide are going to be hosting those sing-along screenings of the hit movie Wicked starting on Christmas Day. So they'll have lyrics on the screen for audience participation. And they will also include an exclusive video introduction from stars Cynthia Erivo and Ariana Grande. It has broken the show box office records since it came out November 22nd. But some people decided to sing in the theaters and other people are like, hey, I'm trying to watch. Well, for those of you who can't control yourself, a bunch of places will do this starting Christmas Day.
Yeah, some theaters, I guess, were throwing people out, which is unfortunate. Just tell people to stop singing.
Stop singing.
Like my wife.
Don't make me sing.
My wife has seen it. I saw it. I don't know if I saw it on Broadway. I saw it somewhere.
Right.
It's good. My wife has seen it once, I think. And she's like, I know every word. I'm like, how do you know every word? She's like, I listen. So it's super popular. People seem to love it. Do you know it's only the first part?
I don't know anything about it.
Okay. So I just found this out. It's only the first part. They're going to have a second part coming up. So
can they have a prequel too? Can they make one up?
Well, this is the prequel.
Can they make a prequel to the prequel?
But this is the. Do you know the story behind this?
No, I mean I know. I remember it. I
remember Wizard of Oz.
Yes.
Dorothy. Okay. So before that, the Wicked Witch.
Yes.
And the Good Witch.
Right.
It's like them in like Witch College.
Right.
Not witch. Like which
but
one?
But like there could be before that too.
I don't know
how much money they could make.
They could, but
no, I get it.
Either way, like people rave about this. There was a guy who's like a really outspoken about politics, and he's always kind of like aggressive, Nancy. And he says, he's like, so I got dragged to this movie where I didn't have no interest. And he's like, but I liked it. And if any of you bleeps out there want to take me, I will go again. I was like, this is hilarious. Like this gruff guy.
I want
like,
to see it.
It's like two hours, 40 minutes.
Will it come out onto Disney? Then I shall watch. Or one of the other channels. I got more cookies done on my day off on Monday.
Can I confidently say on the air, if you're off for cookies, I could say you're off for making cookies.
Absolutely.
I kind of tiptoed around it. Like I was afraid you'd be like, why did you tell everyone I was making cookies?
First of all, I don't ever care if you tell somebody that I took off for whatever.
Even if I make it up?
No. I mean, what I'm saying is there's really nothing like the tiptoe around. You know, I tell people Jason's a slug today and doesn't want to be in, and that's about it. I don't worry.
I'm actually here.
So I made cookies, and I make cookies, and I do it. It's a process because, you know, cookie trays. And I made chocolate chip cookies the other day because my kids, no matter how much time and effort I put into every other delicious cookie, and they like them all. My son's like, and my daughter, just make like four times as many chocolate chip cookies. That's all they want. That's all they care about. I make chocolate crinkles. I make the cream cheese spritz cookies. I make sugar cookies. I make the peanut butter blossoms with the Hershey Kiss. Did I say sugar cookies? Yeah. What am I missing?
I don't know if you did,
the gingerbread cookies I make. I'll make the ricotta cookies. And then I want chocolate chips. And it's frustrating because that's like the simplest one to do.
I thought kids outgrew that because we're still in that phase. I think we've passed chicken nuggets, but it's whatever my wife cooks for dinner. And then we make one of them ramen.
Oh, my God. My daughter's going to be 21. She still eats ramen.
Or mac and cheese.
And there's chicken fingers.
In the cup, or as my daughter named it, stovable.
Stovable.
And it's got to be. She likes that. He likes the other. I could see that. It's like we got all these fancy cookies. I go, just give me the chocolate.
What's your favorite kind of a Christmas cookie?
I'm afraid to say now.
Well, you can.
I do like chocolate chip.
Okay, outside of chocolate chip, since that's not a Christmas cookie.
I think I like those, the ones that are like peanut butter in the middle. Is that something? I don't know.
They have ones that have like the peanut butter Reese's cup in the middle.
Maybe that's
I do like the peanut butter with the Hershey Kiss in the middle.
I'm very basic. I really enjoy a good sugar cookie. Mm-hmm. Those, when done well, I'll tell you something. You know you've tasted greatness.
Right.
Yeah, and I like a sugar cookie.
Sugar cookie is the number one dessert for the most popular Christmas dessert in Pennsylvania is the sugar cookie. That's number one.
I'm a good company then.
New York is the same. You go to Ohio and it's red velvet.
Fancy, fancy Ohio.
Red velvet? What was it, cake for Christmas? Is that a thing?
I mean, it makes sense if you think about it.
I guess.
Christmas is full of red.
I guess.
But yeah.
It's kind of weird. Still pumpkin pie is on the list.
Oh, wait, these are desserts, not just cookies.
It's just his most popular Christmas desserts in each U.S. state. There's pecan pie. And you'll see that as you get. Let's see, where's pecan pie? There's not many in here.
No, there's not many.
Who's got pecan? Oh, District of Columbia and Connecticut. There's rice pudding, carrot cake, biscotti. There's tiramisu. And then sugar cookies.
May I have overpronounced that one? Is it
tiramisu?
Tiramisu. Tiramisu, right?
Tiramisu. Something like that. Okay. Who knows?
I'm getting now because we stopped talking serious, all the crazy sad stuff.
I know. There's lots of crazy sad stuff. I'd like to talk cookies. What's your favorite cookie, everybody? My cookie press died halfway through my cookies. So I do a cream cheese spritz cookie and I make it a green dough because I like to do wreaths and I like to do trees. And halfway through, it crapped the bed and it died.
Oh, no.
My husband tried to help me. He came in. He's like, he fixed it, but it was temporary. And then I'd pump it and then it would break. And then he'd fix it. And I'm like, I can't do this after every cookie. So halfway through, I got out the flour and the rolling pin and I just rolled them out and did the basic cookies. Because I couldn't spritz it anymore with that. And then I bought a spritz gun, which is for next Christmas. I found it on sale on Amazon.
Just for protection. It's a gun thing.
Don't come near me. I have my spritz gun.
I was looking through this guy. I just was curious to see. You said, you know, these are rare desserts or the most popular.
No, most popular.
I found just a short list here. And can you think of desserts growing up, maybe at the holidays, that you remember having? And it's like, wait, no one makes that anymore. You mentioned rice pudding.
Lekvar cookies my grandmother made.
What were they?
Lekvar.
That sounds like a medicine.
Lekvar is like a prune, like a jelly kind of thing. And then she'd make it in this, just like a bread dough. And it would fold over so you'd see the Lekvar. And then she'd sprinkle the big grains of sugar on it. It was delicious.
I have no idea what a Lekvar is, but I just feel like I'd be like, remember yesterday I said it felt
You could do it with apricot. You could do it with all kinds of fillings.
So I felt like I had something in my shoe. It was a Lekvar.
I don't know if that was because of her heritage.
Number five on this, desserts that people don't make anymore, rice pudding. So that list right there, number one should be easy. Things people, desserts at the holidays, people don't really make or embrace anymore. Number one should be really obvious, but you may not think of it.
You don't embrace or make anymore. Fruitcake.
Yes, number one, fruitcake.
Yes.
And then here's one. Number two on this is, it's my 95 now.
Okay.
It's that Italian bread. I can't pronounce it. Panettone bread? Is that how you pronounce it?
Oh, I don't
Panettone.
Know.
That's probably how you should say it.
Okay.
Then there's, is it anise cookies?
Oh, anise cookies are yummy too.
They just, Christmas pudding. Ever since Charles Dickens stopped writing books, no one talked about the...
No.
Oh, that was figgy pudding.
Figgy pudding.
Jell-O salad, white fruitcake. Didn't know we drew a racial line on our fruitcakes.
What?
And something called forgotten cookies. Ever hear of those?
No, I forgot about them.
And grasshopper pie, which...
It's like a mint.
Yeah, I kind of remember
pistachio
that as well.
Pistachio, is it, too?
Is it? Let's see. It's grasshopper.
Or is it just chocolate with mint?
It doesn't say.
Somebody wants to know, who makes Welsh cookies around here? My mom does, and they're fabulous. My mother loves to make Welsh cookies.
Nancy's mom makes cookies.gov.
Not for the government, no.
I think the best way to do that would be to go on Facebook because there's a lot of people who do make them and then kind of sell them to like circles of friends.
She does them in like this skillet that she has. It's a very particular thing. She's
the
very
skillet?
OCD. Well, it's like one of these, it's kind of, I think when then she like,
really?
You fry them and stuff. It's she does them fabulous. But if anybody wants to help out, someone wants to know who makes Welsh cookies around here, text us who does. I'm sure almost a lot of these bakeries might. And we can let people know because my mom's not going to make enough to sell to those of you who are looking for it. Someone else says snowball cookies are great. My mother makes those too.
They probably have coconut on them, right?
No.
You sure?
Mm-mm.
Are you sure?
They're like, they have some kind of like a nuttiness to them. I think they might have some pieces of
maybe it's
something.
Coconutty?
Like maybe walnuts in them chopped up.
Interesting.
And
right.
then it has like the powdered sugar on the outside. Okay. They are really good. A Russian tea cake. They are fabulous.
Just forgotten, more forgotten desserts that are coming
in
here?
No, these are just people who's talking about what they like on the holidays.
Okay.
Another says M&M cookies. So is that like... chocolate chip, but you put M&M's in them, I'm going to guess.
They're surprisingly I never thought I'd say this, but it tastes like little chocolate eggshells in your cookie. And it works. I usually would be totally
turned
off by
that. I would prefer just a chocolate chip instead of a M&M, but I get it.
The Welsh cookie, back to that. My wife is a huge Welsh cookie fan, and I don't know what they used to cost first now, but every time I see them, I go, oh, Welsh cookies? And she goes, oh my God, that's outrageous. And then she puts them down and walks away. So I don't know what
make
that...
them herself.
I don't trust her.
Oh, come
no,
on.
No, I wouldn't. I never ate them. I wouldn't, because there's not enough
those
of them.
Those are really good with like a hot cup of tea. So are the Russian tea cake and the snowball cookies. You guys are talking about. I might do snowball cookies because I do like those. I got to add something to the repertoire here.
I just can imagine.
I shall bring some in. Like and the, we shall eat.
Guys, I've been listening to your show since December of 2024. I remember the first segment. I just laughed out loud. It was Nancy thinking about what she might bake.
Someone else says the Welsh tea shop. The Welsh tea shop in Clark Summit.
Ooh.
That sounds fabulous.
That does sound good.
So if you like those. Someone else says pecan tassies are great. What are they?
I don't know.
I must go look.
I grew up in Jersey, a town called Bridgewater was one of those. George Washington slept here towns.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a lot of Revolutionary War stuff. So snickerdoodles were big. No one makes snickerdoodles
I
anymore.
I love them. I made those, I think, last year or the year before because they're a huge hit.
Like
snickerdoodles.
I don't necessarily think they're the greatest thing ever, but it was such a big part of my childhood I thought would be around forever.
Mm-hmm.
Now, snickerdoodles, not on the menu anywhere. But that was just that.
That's a good one, too.
Yeah, so what else?
Someone's like, I like when you guys talk cookies. We can talk sympathy for killers, or we can talk cookies.
Which is a real sentence that actually makes sense.
What's in there, Johnny L?
There's a church in Scranton making Welsh cookies.
Oh, yeah? Is it a Welsh church?
No, it's St. Matthew's Evangelical Lutheran Church.
Ooh.
/ Welsh Cookie Emporium.
Yeah.
Evangelical
Lutheran Church.
A lot of names.
St. Matthew's.
Where?
Okay.
On Jefferson Avenue in Scranton.
So they're making them for the holidays?
Yes,
for
let's see.
Like currently, right now, they're cooking.
They're outside right now.
They have Welsh cookies. It says December 14th and 15th.
Oh, okay.
That's pretty cool. Oh, here I'm looking at it on Facebook, folks. If you're interested, those of you who asked, St. Matthew Evangelical Lutheran Church, Welsh cookies this weekend, December 14th and 15th. You can message the page on Facebook or call the church office and place an order. $6 per dozen. And these are big. That's a good deal.
Okay, that's good.
$5 per dozen of the small ones. You can pick them up on the church on Sunday. There you go. We've done our good deed for those who want their Welsh cookies, and they're delicious.
Coming up next, things that make us go, good. Let's talk about lunch meats. Someone texted in about different types of cookies they want. Italian pepper cookies, which sound interesting.
Yeah, they are good.
Prank-wise, Italian hot pepper cookies. Give them a go. See what your friends
think.
Never
know. I love hearing about your cookies, folks.
This should be our show, really. It'd just be a lot easier.
Snickerdoodles, poppy seed and nut rolls. Yeah, they are good. They are really good. They're good with a hot tea. I like lots of hot tea with my cookies. You guys have really helped out with a lot of great cookie ideas.
I mean, they've really not helped. They've given us names, and now all I want is cookies. So I appreciate the text, but I wish I had cookies instead.
You know what? A lot of times your parents or your grandparents are the ones that get you to do certain types of cookies. My mother always did Spritz cookies. It was a German thing from her family. And then I started doing, and I do have to do them this year, the Lekvar. I do half Lekvar. I do half apricot.
Yeah.
And I kind of morphed it a little and used, I think, cream cheese in the last bread dough that I used. But if I have to do it like my grandma did, she just did it, I think, with regular bread dough, which it still tasted fabulous.
I have. Okay, I just looked up this Lekvar stuff. I'm sorry, but this is not what you wanted to talk about here. I looked up Lekvar. I've seen Lekvar. This really needs some of those dyes that RFK Jr. is trying to get rid of. I've seen it before. He said it looks like tar.
They're Hungarian cookies is what they are.
They're
folded over like little babies in a blankie. But you can use prune. You can use a whole bunch.
I guess you can mix.
I've done them with nut filling too, like a nut roll. But I put the filling in the cookie.
I seem to have like memories of having this as a kid, and there was some like seeds in it, and freaked me out. Is that possible?
It possibly, if it was raspberry filling or something. Yeah, if
like
you don't
little
that.
Baby seeds. Anyway, that's just thank you for these texts. They are interesting and making me hungry.
It's fun to do something a little different. There's a story in the Scranton Times Tribune today, and it's kind of the follow up on that whole bidding on the Delaware Avenue lot in Oliphant, which, if you've been following along, and there seems to be some bad blood between the two people that bid on this property, and it went quite a bit. Quite a bit over what right. The worth, I guess, was for that property. And right now, Delaware Avenue Oliphant property, the vacant lot there, the winning bidder is now, I guess their attorney has sent a letter because they're saying that the nearby Queen City Tavern is storing its garbage cans and dumpster on the property.
Okay.
And they're threatening some potential litigation. The owner of that Queen City Tavern, right, that's developer John Basilega, well known in the area for doing a lot of stuff to, you know, really, I think, make Scranton and add a lot to the city of Scranton and the surrounding areas as well.
Wilkes-Barre doing some
looked
now.
Into Wilkes-Barre yeah. as well. And he was one who was bidding on this property. So, you know, that bid went up to beyond, I think it was like supposedly estimated at $70,000+, and it ended up a bid at $130,000 for it.
And you were off one of the days and I talked about this. And again, I'm not at these meetings, but everything I've heard from different people, there was one person who didn't even hide their kind of like, I don't want him involved here. I don't want him to win this. He didn't hide that, you know.
Who didn't want who to what?
There was one person on the council, I'm forgetting the word.
Oh, okay. All right.
Who clearly didn't want John Basilega to have that,
right.
to win that.
Okay.
And they went kind of out of their way, almost, it seemed to me, against the better interest of the city.
Well, basically, the question, though, was it was in the best interest of the city to put this thing out for bid, not to just give it to somebody. Because, look, it was worth $71,300 and
right.
somebody paid $130,000. That's great for Oliphant to be able to reap that money. So I have no problem with them putting that out to bid. It should have gone out to bid because that's how you get the most money for it. You don't just give it to somebody. Now, the issue has to do with there are garbage cans and dumpsters supposedly right. on this property. And there are claims that the borough allowed them to do this or whatever. Look, the attorneys can fight it out. Basically, the sales agreement has not been signed and is not done yet. Right. So on the one hand, Oliphant, I believe from what I saw in the story, they're contending that until the actual agreement is done, because there's big concrete blocks that they have to stop people from parking there.
Right.
The new owner claims that they're theirs because it's on their property. And what's interesting in this story, somebody nearby was also building a deck. And it was, they said, the new owners were saying, it was now encroaching on their property. And it turns out, according to officials who then were called out, they told that property owner that they got to take that deck down. They did not have the approval to do it. Imagine,
yeah.
imagine that you put the time and effort to put that in there. But of course, you've got to make sure you go through and let them know what you're adding. And so they told them, you've got to take that deck down. Now, this is not the Basilega property.
No, no,
this
no.
is a different property. But that deck was, I guess, encroaching on that new property that is in the process of being purchased. So this new owner is on both sides is having issues with people that they think are encroaching on this property. Once that bill is done, everyone's going to have to get their stuff out of there.
Like if you that little area in there, like that Main Street and Oliphant, has got some older buildings. They tore down a big section of them in the past year and a half. Another roof just collapsed at a place right there at a theater. These buildings are going to need work. So I don't know. That's a bad idea to kind of push away the big developer guy because maybe he could help. But still, I guess you got to do everything
the
right
way. In the end, it's whoever bids the most gets the property. Hopefully they'll work all this out and the deal goes through and they can, you know, make this a better place
cut
for everybody.
What appears to be petty BS.
So we talked a lot about cookies today and Christmas cookies
goodness.
And my issue with my spritzer gun, as they say, and this is just something that you use to make spritz cookies, and mine died.
How long have you had? Did you have it for?
Not very long. It was, unfortunately, I had one that lasted a good long time, and then one time again, while making the cookies, it cracked and it broke. And so I duct taped that one, and meanwhile, I ordered this new one. First one I got was broken out of the box. I should have told me something. So when I got back in touch with them, they're like, we'll send you another. So I had that one maybe 2 to 3 years, and it's already died.
I know you're trying to move forward, obviously, but it feels like
a tough time.
It feels like you're pushing down your emotions about how you felt when you lost the spritzer.
I'm replacing the cookie spritzer with the one that I had prior, which was not available when it broke. And now I found it. So
now hopefully by this time next year, you consider that to be part of your family.
My husband's like, why are you ordering that now since you already did the cookies and you're not going to use it for a year? And I said, because next year, if I don't order it now,
you forget, won't you?
Next year, I'll have the cookie dough ready and I'll try to pull the stuff out. And I'll go, oh, crap, I don't have a gun. And that's a spritzer gun.
Spritzer gun, yes.
I cannot defend myself with this spritzer gun.
I mean, you could just make a bad guy or an intruder look more spritzed.
Yeah. 570-883-0098. So we're getting a winner. He's talking to someone in there. We shall see. Meanwhile, the zoning board, Wilkes-Barre Township, has approved the expansion of Motor World into the Wyoming Valley Mall property. This is going to take up a significant portion, which is not a big concern, I think, because there's been a significant portion that has been vacant. So better to have something there than nothing. And Motor World is already nearby. It now expands into the project here at the Wyoming Valley Mall. So this Motor World was approved 6 variances. And this has to do with the side and rear yard, the building, the parking setback requirements, a parking lot, landscaping, vegetation requirements,
right,
and also requirements for signage. All approved unanimously. No public comment from members regarding it. So
this is a good thing because I think the biggest struggle, and we all know this, the biggest struggle malls tend to have in 2024 is people don't go to them anymore.
Right, but, so
you come
empty.
You come up with these things that people will always have to go to. People are always going to be looking to buy cars or get the cars serviced. And while they're there, you wait.
Right.
Gives, you know, K-Pots over there. You have different local restaurants, if they're within walking distance, are really...
Right.
They potentially could see a boom from this.
I'm sure that the remaining stores that are there would be very happy to just have some foot traffic and folks maybe popping in. So
non-traditional tenants, and that's what they're putting in there. I like the way they're doing it.
They say what's going to happen is it will now, this dealership, acquire a portion, including the areas that were occupied by Sears, the Bon-Ton, also the areas that currently are occupied by Macy's Men's and Home and the Ken Pollock Tire and Auto Center. They say they will convert all of that space into a service car detailing area and car wash. This is all in the Times Leader today. Also, part of the former Bon-Ton going to be used as administrative offices. So they will be, this is the first of a number of things they have to do, where they have to now assess and inspect the property before they close the sales deal. So that's next.
Giving me the courage and the strength I need, Nancy, you and me.
Are you going to say it?
Babe, I love you.
Wow.
I was waiting, taking you all these years to come around. Joe Sedeker.
Call her husband. It's over. 7-day forecast for him. Loneliness.
Yeah.
Nancy's got some. No,
he couldn't stand my couch sitting. It would drive him crazy.
Stop it. I think a lot of your listeners are probably, a little older, 50s, 60s, and beyond, and they know that song. So that was number one in December of 1979. And anyone who's a dad rocker, that disappointed us rockers because that was like a cheesy ballad song by Styx. And they used to rock, Grand Illusion, Renegade, And then they did that.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is a likable song.
Well, don't worry. They went over the shark with Mr. Roboto. So, you know, it got worse.
Yes.
It got worse. Wasn't the low point.
Well, then they kicked him out of the band, and he is still out of the band.
Oh.
Dennis D. Young wrote that. Yeah. So the story behind that song, when I looked it up, it's pretty cool. So that he is still married to his high school sweetheart, almost 55 years.
Wow.
And he wrote that song. He wrote that song kind of close to their 10th anniversary about his wife. What rock star does that? That was in 1979.
And they kicked him out. So, that's what, because he wasn't fun enough. I guess he didn't party enough and hang out with the groupies. I don't know.
And if you can keep love strong after living through Mr. Roboto, anything is possible.
This is true.
Yeah, no, it wasn't that the rest of the band were partiers or anything. They just wanted to go more in a rocking direction, and he was really hooked on these kind of cheesy ballads. But he's a great guy. He has a lot of podcasts that interviews I've listened to, and he's an energetic, fun dude. He just had a different direction for the band back then.
Right.
So anyway, that's a little history for you. That was 1979, record high today, 64, and that song was a big hit. If you can go back to 1979, it's been like at all the proms in the 80s since, right?
Oh, I remember that.
It's been a long time.
Yes,
I don't know.
I remember a lot of people like them. I honestly was not a big fan of them because I thought they were cheesy. I was more into rock at that age.
Oh, well, geez, they did rock. You just have to dig deep.
No, I meant
stuff.
Like,
anyway.
Yeah, that was earlier before I started listening to music.
Gotcha.
And I've never heard it till this moment, so I can't really say much more than that. But
that's
I'm glad you like
true.
It.
Is that, you
that's
never heard that song?
Never, Joe.
You know what? I can't do this anymore, Nance. You have to get me someone else to do this. If you don't know the song Babe, that's like saying you don't know who Abraham Lincoln is. It's just everywhere.
Well, I can't. He didn't work in that time period. So remember, his parent. What's your mom have? Neil Diamond, the jazz singer.
Yeah, I have Kenny Rogers.
The Gambler.
The Gambler.
This
double record of Grease. And then there was one more, Barry Manilow.
He has like a huge, huge hole in music from that time period.
I've gotten better with it. But if you want, I'll pretend to be someone here. Huh? Hey, Joe, I'm Barry and I love Sticks.
No, I'm not saying you have to like it, but it's like saying you don't know what the YMCA song is or something. They're just parts of culture that I thought everybody knew.
Well,
I'm wrong.
I'm not in a cave anymore. How about that? He's judging me so hard now. I'm sorry.
I find it hard to believe. All day rain today. It's not going to break the record of 64 from 79, but it will be rain. So from morning right through the afternoon, there's going to be a brief time when between about 6 p.m. and 10 p.m., we get some wet snow on the backside. But, you know, the rain is going to be falling. And then it's going to turn quickly to snow. But the snow is still falling through a warm layer at the surface. So I think, you know, if you have any fears of this evening traveling around, you know, don't. It'll still be melting on most roads. And an inch or two. Are we at the point in life now where an inch or two scares us? Please, no. So it'll be fine all day and all night. Temperatures are going to drop quickly tonight. It's going to be in the 20s tomorrow at this time. Windy and colder on Thursday, but partly sunny. Woohoo, baby!
Nice.
34 tomorrow, 34 on Friday. Nice and sunny, less wind. As a matter of fact, from tonight all the way through Sunday, there's nothing happening. So it's going to be a pretty cool weekend. I see upper 30s on Saturday, 40s on Sunday. There might be some rain showers late Sunday. And then again, Tuesday of next week, but most of next week, still above average temperatures and no big snowstorms or brutal cold anytime soon. Two weeks today, it's what?
Christmas,
right?
Yes. And you know what? 3 weeks today, won't your wife allow you to take that tree down or won't that be?
Is it that something? I'm looking now. 3 weeks today. So, yes, it's January the 1st.
Yeah, you'll have freedom.
I don't know. It's a battle.
You'll have freedom. Oh, wait. So when do you guys take it down? Do you wait until that Orthodox Christmas, or do you get it down earlier?
Oh, my. No, she doesn't. No.
So you'll take it down on, like, the 2nd.
My marriage, like a lot of marriages, it's like an Apollo mission. Everything has to be sometimes It's got to be calculated. It's got to be pre-thought. I can't just go in and say, the day after Christmas, honey, the tree's going
down. Right, right.
I have to wait for the right moment.
Yeah, you'll wait
till
she's in a good mood about something, and then you spring it on her.
and then I pretend it wasn't even on my mind. I pretend it's like a passing thought. I'm like, hey,
I'm already up here. Do you want me to bring the boxes down? And I can get this thing down in 2 seconds flat. What do you think?
That's right.
That's how you do it.
I pretend like it wasn't on my mind. So we'll see.
Love it. All right. I do the same thing. I wait for those moments. You just wait and then you pounce. I'll talk to you later.
That's right.
Oh, I've done that before. If I've got to tell him something that I don't think he'll take too well, I'll wait until he's in a particularly good mood.
I need to learn that. Apparently.
It's a leverage thing. Yes, you got
to
do
that. I don't know how to deal with that disappointment, Nancy.
What disappointment?
When
no
I say
disappointment,
something to him.
You basically have to just, it's all about timing.
With him. Okay.
With almost anybody.
Point taken.
Find your moments. All right.
Bad at that.
Penn State University police are not going to charge retired Philadelphia Eagles center Jason Kelce. Remember after that altercation with a fan over the cell phone? That happened before a game back on November 2nd between the Nittany Lions and Ohio State. Basically, they confirmed to the Associated Press the case is now closed. The individual in a video that went viral on social media has not been identified. No one has come forward to police with a complaint about the damage to personal property. So if you saw it, someone was harassing him by yelling stuff out. He turns around, he grabbed the phone, threw it on the ground.
It was an ugly incident in the moment.
Yeah. He did, did he not apologize later? He understood that was not the appropriate way to handle that.
Yeah, he apologized not to the guy, but for his behavior on a national stage.
So
Kelce boys, they are untouchable now.
So nobody came out to say, like, hey, I thought for sure we're going to get somebody who's going to sue or, wants their phone. But anyway, nothing was said to the police. And they say that this is over with. And Kelce did later apologize during ESPN's Monday Night Football pregame show. And he said, in a heated moment, I decided to greet hate with hate. I fell short this week.
So no charges. So he destroys the phone. And now we're wondering, but nobody called and told the police. I wonder why he had no phone.
We've been talking about lighter stuff for most of the day. We started off more heavy, and we're going to talk some more about the United Healthcare CEO killing and this. It's what's disturbing is that there is merchandise now that is supportive of Luigi Mangione. And people are very concerned about the fact that it glorifies violence and a violent act.
Two things. One, I'm listening to some of the reporting this morning, and I'm like, I'm not saying things are predictable now, but in my head I said, I'll bet we're going to start seeing shirts. And I'm like, that's crazy, though. Mm-hmm. And then in the same report, they said what you said.
Yeah.
They reported that.
Look, you can get almost anything on anything.
Sure.
You can make your own, but there's now T-shirts, hoodies. There's shot glasses, coffee mugs, basically referring to this accused murderer. Some of them have the words. They have Christmas ornaments. Think of this. With deny, defend, and depose, which were the words found on bullet shell casings at the murder scene. There are free Luigi stickers and coffee mugs and T-shirts. Now, some platforms are taking it down, saying it violates their rules. Which would make sense. Etsy, they are an online platform where the deny, defend, depose ornament is listed for sale. USA Today has a story. They said Etsy did not respond to a request for comment. But there are online marketplaces that generally prohibit the sale of items that glorify violence. But I guess it doesn't extend to all of the related merchandise because what? If some of the statements aren't violent, is that what they're saying? Then it doesn't meet, something that would say shoot such and such.
Right. Yeah. It doesn't say shoot, stab, kill.
But
it
if you're using the words that someone put on bullets at a crime scene, it would seem that's pretty obviously talking about a violent act.
Yeah. There was a report out in that same ABC report I was mentioning before. They were talking about how people are using some of this money from the sales and people are reaching out actively to help fund Luigi's defense. It is very interesting that we have gotten to a point in this country where it is not, in the past 3 or 4 years now, I can think of at least two, probably plenty more, where people have said, this person is directly connected to a death of somebody else, and I have decided I support that person because that death to me is justifiable. That's a weird place to be. Right now, it's people saying, oh, Luigi shot that guy. You know how many deaths that guy was for before this? Kyle Rittenhouse, he killed people, but he was defending himself. Or the, you know, the George Floyd stuff. They put it was drugs. He deserved to die. We're at a very weird place where people are stepping up going, that's the kind of person I want to support.
Well, in this case, which makes it different than what you're talking about.
I agree. It's very different.
We're talking about a policy issue that you would want to change through law, legislation, work through lawmakers. And I understand the criticism of the health insurance industry. There are reports that say that United Healthcare had the highest denial of claims, somewhere around 35% or so denial of claims. And people are trying to say, look, how many people either went bankrupt or are suffering or can't get the treatment they need or died because of the health care that they got? And the answer is not to kill somebody.
Never. Shouldn't
and
be.
And yet, I will say, and I said this earlier in the show, our lawmakers should be paying attention. Because when you have people that find themselves sympathetic or empathetic, however you want to say it, to someone who does something like this, it shows a level of anger that people have with something. And we would want to work on that and fix a problem as opposed to allowing this kind of lawless and anti-hero worship, which is incredibly disturbing.
Right.
It's very disturbing, yet it's out there. And people are like, people that I know are reasonable, rational people who will say, I get it, violence isn't the answer, but...
I hear that all the time. It's really crazy.
And so can something be done to make the situation better from a terrible act? I would hate to think that we have to say that people only act after a terrible thing happens.
And also, I think when they're at... at a dead end, they feel like there's no other option. If you think about that with like healthcare, if you have a bad experience, say we find out that's exactly what it was, a bad personal experience, he felt like he had no other options, and this is what he decided to do. All we need to do is provide another path that maybe leads to change, and maybe that's what he takes. Other people too down the road, like, oh, here's a plan that could help fix healthcare. Here's a plan that could help fix other things. But I think a lot of people just feel like this government's not doing anything for us.
Right. And they're not when it comes to this. I mean, it seems like we get these other issues that they want to have continue so they can continue to use it so that we all scream and fight, against each other over these other issues that don't affect us as much as something like healthcare would. And let's be honest, most lawmakers have very, very good health insurance plans. Nothing like the ones that we have, where we are paying more and more money. We are having higher and higher deductibles and co-pays and maximum out of pockets. And it's insane. You have networks and out of networks, and you can go to a place that's in network, but a doctor isn't. We've had that happen, which is crazy. It's insane. Right. Some of the stuff people have to deal with. Try and get a cost estimate before you go in. People go, oh, you're getting to shop around. It's not that easy. Believe me, I've been through enough of the system to know that I've had to find it out through lots and lots of sheer legwork and determination, and also having to pay some pretty big bills along the way.
And people who do have insurance, this is another issue where a lot of people don't fully understand insurance. I did a deep dive because I felt very confused about a lot of this. And what I kind of found out is something people find out the hard way. Something happens and they find out, my insurance I've been paying for really sucks. It doesn't do it. I have to pay how much money before they'll cover anything?
Yeah. If you don't have to see a lot of New York Times had that story that said, like, Americans love their health insurance. And then in the story, it was about until they have to use it. So until they have to use it can be very, very frustrating. And people will either your medication is incredibly expensive or your surgery after you have to pay out of pocket is going to put you way behind the eight ball. Or someone says we need to do these imaging tests. And then you find out, I don't have that kind of money that you have to pay out of pocket because, you know, you have a deductible that mm-hmm. you have to meet before they start kicking in. So I'll say this. It's a great thing to have if you have a huge
catastrophic
something or other. Look, it's not that it still won't break you. But you'll still pay, you know, you're still going to pay out the nose, but the bill would be so astronomical if you didn't. I mean, think about chemo, surgery. Thank God, it sounds terrible to say, thank God I had cancer when I had complete coverage. Because 17 years ago, I was able to just do the one copay and all my chemo was covered. Now, if I had it, I'd have to pay a percentage of every single chemo that I had to go through. In addition to the radiation that followed for me and then the multiple surgeries that I had. So it's what I had then. If I had it now, I would have to pay so much more. And so there's a problem with health insurance and it needs to be fixed. It doesn't need to be repealed, and people don't need to be put into high-risk pools. That's nonsense, folks. That's going backwards. Your kids who are in college should still be covered to 26. I love it. I still get texts from people who go, you're an adult at 26. You should be able to do it yourself. Not if your kid's in college. If your kid's in college, they don't have the time to get a full-time job with health insurance. Not every kid's going to college. I get that. There's a reason why we did it up until that age.
Yeah.
So I think we need to retalk the entire healthcare situation. And I hope that our lawmakers pay attention, because when you see something disturbing like this, which is empathy for a killer, which is mind-boggling to me, it shows that there's a level of anger that people are willing to say the ends justify the means, as opposed to actual action being done to fix the issue.
There's also this, there's a lot of people out there when you say, like, you know, thank God I had cancer when I did because it was fully covered. There are people who will definitely say, well, aren't you special? You know, because they get burned and they feel like what you got was some sort of entitlement that they didn't. And how is that fair? It's like, think about what we're arguing about here. Right. Think about this, too. One of the first things you do when you go to a doctor, sometimes every time, or maybe it's just your first visit, they give you a document that should clearly say, we're covering our ass here. We want to make sure you're going to pay your bill. And the insurance companies know they're going to get their money.
Right.
Nobody's covering us.
Right.
No one is looking out for us. There's no document that is signed that I go in and say, I want you to sign this. It says, if I need like major help immediately, that you'll just pick up the tab and help me pay the bills because it could save my life.
Right.
That's an assumed thing, but financially, they might just step out of the way.
Right.
It's horrible.
And someone goes, what was the point of the Affordable Care Act? The Affordable Care Act was a starting point. And unfortunately, it didn't. What happened is it's still a for-profit business for people. Think about this. In the world, in the United States, I get it. We're a capitalist society. There's one thing that I believe should not be, and that is a company making money off the backs of sick people. That's what denial of claims gets you more money. There's something wrong with that. So I am all for, and I've always been for, Medicare for all. And I always will be. I understand it's going to cost people more in taxes, but how much of paychecks are already going towards people's health insurance? But it was a start, because you know what? It didn't allow you to be denied because you had a pre-existing condition. Mm-hmm. It allowed you to also be covered for certain preventative services, which I think are incredibly important. I shouldn't have to be put in a high-risk pool, nor my kids, because of a genetic factor that I have. And it also covers the kids at a time when you don't want them when they're in school and they can't get coverage or a full-time job, that they don't have any coverage at all. this shouldn't happen either.
I know if you get to traffic, there is, you know, that question. Well, what was the purpose of Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act? From firsthand experience, losing my job in 2017, prior to Obamacare, I would have had the options of COBRA, where you pay like three times as much for the same coverage temporarily. It gave me the option to call around to places and ask how much it would cost. It gave me an easier opportunity. I think you could have always done that, but it was never easy. It was very easy to try to find it. The price sucked, no question, but I was able to get it, which was important for me and my family in that moment. That was a huge step forward.
Right. And it does help people who are, you know, struggling by helping to supplement so that they can get it at a more affordable cost. Someone says, stop calling it healthcare. It's health insurance. You're right. Care doesn't enter into their business model, says another. Somebody else said, one of my friends used to work with, they were coming up with Obamacare, used to always say, well, you don't have health insurance, but you got your guns.
And as a follow up, you said a really good point there. I was making better money where I was. I didn't qualify for any subsidies, which was a kick in the, you know.
Right.
But at the same time, OK, I could handle it. Yeah. If you make less, you get money.
Yeah. They get
off of that.
Right.
So there were a few benefits that really made it easier. Not perfect, but easier.
Right. All right. So we've been talking about insurance companies.
Such a
health
frustrating
insurance. People are like, stop saying healthcare. It's health insurance company.
Health related bill management.
Right. Look, we've got people checking in, talking about health insurance. And I wanted to find the one text, but it went into a couple of a number of threads. It's really hard if you don't keep it into one for us to follow it. But somebody was basically saying, we have tried to talk to our government leaders about this. Years of and decades of complaining got us nowhere. Now, three words on three bullets have gotten people talking about it. We don't want it to get to levels like that, right? Where somebody is killed. And people go, well, yeah, it's a problem. No. I get it, though, the frustration that you have with the system. But we don't become vigilantes. And
no.
Because that's a slippery slope. Look, when the abortion issue, obviously for decades and decades, it's changed recently. But there were people who honestly believed that the answer was killing an abortion doctor. Remember, it happened.
Well, yeah, like violent protests were a thing.
So if you don't like the way things are going, the answer for you in one situation may be that, which I don't agree with. But the slippery slope is somebody else says, I don't like the way this is going, rather than actually try to go to lawmakers or build a coalition and get something done. I'm going to take it into my own hands. Before you know it, we're going to be like Russia or some other country where people fall out of windows, or we don't, whether it's on a government stage or, you know, vigilantism and revenge and retribution from politicians, which we've heard them talk about, which is scary. Is it weird for us to think now that we have everyday people possibly cheering on the murder of someone because they don't agree with what that person stood for, when we have people that are leaders who have talked about revenge and retribution?
Yeah.
This is the dangerous ground that we're on now.
I really think in this situation, what message does it send if all of a sudden, you know, everyone goes back to Washington, they start working on ways to fix health insurance, so something like this doesn't happen again, and the grievances this guy, Luigi, the shooter, had, they get addressed? What message does it send to the person who goes, I can't believe how much it costs to heat my home? It's like, we shouldn't be negotiating. This should not be the flare gun shooting up going, this person died, now let's talk about
because
this.
Because eventually it comes back and maybe bites you or whatever your business is in. I mean, this is not the way that we handle things. That is going back to if you want to go back to the old days where you round them up on your own, right? It's a lawlessness that will only lead to a further decay of society.
Look, ironically, Nancy, I think you look back and you say, you know, round up this group, round up that group. At points, you're going to find somebody who didn't do anything, but they think he did. Witch hunts. Yeah, remember that whole thing?
The college football playoffs, we know who's going to be in them. A reminder, Penn State's Nittany Lions will be playing SMU, and that's on Saturday, December 21st. It's a noon kickoff.
It's a whiteout.
It's exciting because it's at Beaver Stadium, and is this the first play? There haven't been playoffs like this. So the first one ever at Beaver Stadium. So a lot of excitement for folks going to the game. But there's a story out there talking about how the college football playoff director is infuriated because there was a leak, and it was a leak that literally meant a minute before the decision was announced. It got out there, and this executive director, Rich Clark, was really unhappy before their official CFP announcement on Sunday. So a minute before the Selection Sunday show began on ESPN, Brett McMurphy of the Action Network tweeted, SMU is in at CFB playoff and Alabama is out. It wasn't until 30 minutes into the show, ESPN revealed the bracket. McMurphy, a veteran sports writer, worked at ESPN and CBSSports.com, among other places. So I'm looking at this story on CBS Sports. It's believed to be the first time in the 11-year history of the CFP that a portion of the bracket was revealed before the official announcement. So it was a minute prior to the show, but the show itself didn't announce this until 30 minutes in. However, it was out on social media. So this guy was not happy and said, we don't know what happened. We addressed it with our staff. We spoke with committee members to remind everyone of their commitment to keep the rankings closely held until they are actually revealed. So they're trying to find out where the leak originated. We asked some questions, but no. There's a couple of different groups it could come from. ESPN, it could have been. It could have been one of our committee members. It could have been one of our staff members. The only person who I know it wasn't was me. So that's what we think you'd say, right? Crazy. That was a big, big story. That was the biggest story out of the bracket because SMU pushed out Alabama. And that was like kind of up in the air.
And Alabama is, you know, in recent times, kind of like college football royalty. Ohio State gets that. Like, we treat them with kid gloves. Everyone expected that to happen when it didn't.
Don't know who did it, but whoever did it, you know who you are. But you were wrong, said Clark. You betrayed the whole group in the process. It was a hard conversation, but I did that with everyone. Right. Who knows?
Did you see the other story that's out there? It's really insane. And I don't have time, nor have I seen the 400-page manifesto, if you will, that Bill Belichick apparently provided to University of North Carolina.
Oh, really?
There was a rumor last week that Bill Belichick was talking to University of North Carolina to coach their football team. And people were like, why would he do that? Well, apparently he did it because they were, willing to listen to his plan for how he would, the conditions under which he would be willing
And it was how many pages?
They say it's 400 pages of, I want this kind of control and I want this kind of control.
Oh, my God.
And if they don't agree to it, he's just like, all right, we'll take the job. That's what the rumor is, though no one's really confirming it. There are rumors he might accept the job today. But one of the conditions is...
It has nothing to do with the color of M&Ms.
No, okay. No. One of them would be this plan is one of the rules in there would be they have to promise, they have to guarantee that when Bill Belichick steps down, his son Steve becomes the new coach.
Oh, God.
Like, that's just like one of those crazy things.
Whoa.
Like that, think about that. And they're using examples, I guess, the Jaguars, their owner's son runs team analytics. Mm-hmm. So what's the difference? He's grooming his son to run things someday.
I get it if you want him to be by your side doing stuff, but I don't think you should be able to hold someone to, he has to be the heir apparent. But again, if you're Bill Belichick, you probably can kind of make those demands, can't you? If they really want you.
I'm not saying he's the devil, but it's like signing a deal with the devil. On one hand, you know, it's bad, probably, for your program. But on the other hand, think back to the last time you uttered the words University of North Carolina football.
Right.
It's never been said. I don't think their own football players. They just go, yeah, we play a sport.
This is kind of one of those things where you go, well, I don't really need this job. I don't even know if I want it, but I will take it if I can get A, B, C, D, all the way down through Z.
And in this case, then 1 through 3,412. Joe Snedeker's here again, Storm Tracker 16 meteorologist.
Now, wait a minute. You just said I love the song, so you're being sarcastic now because you never even heard it.
I heard it last hour. I'm trying to avoid the awkwardness of last hour.
He had heard about Mr. Roboto. He knew that one, but for some reason, this
one. Oh, you knew that one.
Yeah, this one just missed him.
Yeah. It happened.
Record high today, one of the warmest days, 64 in 1979, and that was the big hit on the radio. I think everyone likes to go back to previous Christmases to just, I was blank in life, and I was here, and I was there. So that was the song you may remember from Christmas 1979. Let's see, I was probably in 7th or 8th grade, I guess. That was my status in life. How about you, Nancy?
Oh, yeah. So I think I'm a year behind you, but it was definitely the song that the ladies, young ladies at the time, we would want to go out and slow dance at the church dance together with the guys.
Oh, see, Jason, what you missed.
Well, I was a 5-year-old in first grade. I shouldn't have been there. I was in over my head already in first grade. I should have been in kindergarten. So that's why I had no time for all your rock and roll music.
Gotcha. At the skating rink, I think I showed you guys this before, they'd have the boys on one side, girls on the other, and then the girls would go to the boy's side and randomly pick a boy, and then you do a couple laps. So I kind of remember doing a little of that to that song.
Isn't it sad that the women, the young women had to go and be the assertive ones?
That's all I remember. Maybe it was a backlash against, we don't have the guys pick. Let's give some power to the ladies. Maybe it was the beginning of the woman movement.
I don't know. All I know is at the dance that we used to go to, and it was at a church, it would take, if the dance was 2.5 hours, it would take till 2 hours in that people started to dance because it, to break the ice. And then by the time everyone was, having fun, it was it's over now.
Yeah, high school dances and middle school dances were really bad weddings where it's nobody's having fun.
Until somebody breaks the ice, then everyone has fun and then it's over.
Yeah. And in that situation, Joe, there's probably a couple guys who are I'd rather hang out with you anyway. Screw them. They don't want to pick us. Fine. They're lost. It's because it couldn't have been girls picking every guy. There had to be guys left over.
Yeah, usually.
I guess.
Poor guys.
All those forced formal events, I have no need for any of them. But like I said, I never wanted to be invited to a wedding again for the rest of my life.
It's all because of that.
Because you love love.
No, it's just, it's all. Oh, no,
I know.
We need an express wedding or just more fun. They have to reboot these things. I guess I'm going to my niece's wedding this spring coming up, and it's in Florida. So I think they're doing these destination things now, which is great. You just go somewhere and you just have some fun and you come back. So
nice.
No drawn out affair, but we'll see. All right, here we go. Today, it's not 1979, but it's going to be mild. We're not going to break a record. Into the upper 50s to near 60 today, but an all day rain. Woo, baby. The rain will start to mix with some wet snow about 5, 6, 7 o'clock, but it will melt on roads for the most part, an inch or two. It's going to get cold and windy tonight, back down to the 20s. Now, tomorrow, and really for the next 4 days, mainly quiet weather. We have to thank the universe for this. It's pretty quiet this time of the year. Could be wicked. So on Thursday, only near 34, partly sunny, windy, a flurry. Friday, nice and sunny. Low to mid-30s, but in the morning on Friday, it's going to be in the teens. And then the weekend, quiet. Saturday, 36. And then Sunday, maybe some rain showers, maybe a wet flake late Sunday. So outdoor plans are a go this weekend. And what's the 14th and 15th? We have a full moon this weekend. And then next weekend, I guess you can call, do you want to call it Christmas weekend? Next weekend is the 21st and the 22nd. And then Monday is the day before Christmas Eve. And then Tuesday is Christmas Eve. And then Wednesday is Christmas Day. It's going to be go, go, go.
Woo. Speaking of go, 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 Joe, we got to go, go, go. We got something we got to get to, but
we're
going to
play
it.
Some Elton Johnny singing. Yeah. So how about that?
Rock on, baby.
We'll
see you
talk
later.
To you tomorrow.
It's the opposite of rock on. But you want to hear this?
We have 57 degrees at your official weather station, WILK. This is the morning news with Nancy and Jason and Elton Johnny Lucas.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Jack Frost nipping at your nose. Yuletide carols being sung by a choir.
and folks dressed up like Eskimos.
Or Shatner event.
Everybody knows. A turkey and some mistletoe help to make the season bright. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to you.
There you go. Yeah.
Shatner.
Nice.
Was it?
2 weeks from now, folks. So guess what? We've got a whole treasure trove of now that's what I call Christmas stuff coming up in the days leading up till Christmas. It's December the 11th, a National App Day. I don't know what you want to do with that.
I'd love to take a nap. Oh, app.
App Day. All right. On this day in history, Britain's King Edward VIII abdicated the throne and married American divorcee Wallace Warfield Simpson, saying he had to be with the woman I love.
Give up everything.
1941, 4 days after the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor, Germany and Italy declare war on the United States. The U.S. responds by declaring war on them in return. On this date, 1951, Joe DiMaggio announced his retirement from baseball. On this date, 1980, guess what? Magnum P.I. premiered on CBS. Remember Tom Selleck?
I know that guy with the stash.
On this date, 1981, Muhammad Ali fought his 61st and final fight. He lost to Trevor Burbick. Ended his career with a 56-5 record. On this date in 2009, Tiger Woods announced a leave from golf in order to focus on his marriage. Later ended up with the divorce. Was that after the whole golf club?
Yeah, he wanted to focus on his marriage after not focusing on anybody in his marriage.
Yeah, that's true. And things never really got better for him since then. 2015, Playboy publishes its last nude issue, the magazine featuring Pamela Anderson on the cover. That's what happened on this day.
By the way, I literally on the spot said Magnum P.I. I didn't really watch that show. Magnum P.I. is like a cop or something. And I stopped and went, no, P.I. He's a private investigator.
Yeah.
Never made that connection before. A stupid learning moment live.
Stupid learning here.
Who pays attention to words?
All righty.
Not this guy, apparently.
It's 8:57 at WILK. A little game for you.
It's the celebrity birthday game.
There's someone at this time of the year we hear a lot of.
Santa.
It's Brenda Lee's birthday. You know, rocking around the Christmas tree.
Yes, yes. Brenda Lee, she's got to be up there. I'm going to say Brenda Lee's probably 80.
80.
Really?
Right on the nose. Good for you. Also, someone who's been around a long time. This is disputed. I could see why. She was in soap operas. Donna Mills, Knott's Landing.
I remember.
It's disputed, so you could be.
That she was in Knott's Landing or her age. I don't think it was that lady. She is 78.
84. Okay. Actress, singer, also EGOT winner, Oscar for West Side Story, Emmy for The Electric Company, Tony for The Ritz, and a Grammy for recording of The Electric Company, Rita Moreno.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Actress, singer.
She's 85.
She's 93.
Well, she looks great, too, for 93.
Yeah. John Kerry, Secretary of State at one time, 2004 Democratic presidential nominee. How old is he?
John Kerry is, he's going to be 75.
81.
Wow, look at that.
A little older than you thought. Yeah. Nikki Sixx, bassist for Motley Crue.
66,
so very close. Yeah.
Nikki Sixx is 66, 666. That means the year of the devil for him.
Mm.
Good luck, sir.
Jermaine Jackson. Member of the Jackson 5.
Oh, that Jackson.
Yeah.
I was thinking somebody. No, Jermaine Jackson. He's this is 71.
70. So look, you didn't do so bad today. If it's your birthday today, happy birthday on this December 11th. If it's your anniversary, we wish you a very happy anniversary. Often thought this would be a nice time of the year to get married if you're doing a church wedding. Usually the church would already be decorated. Yep. I've been in churches that really do, with all the poinsettias and the beautiful lights. Sometimes there's a tree all lit up, and then you don't have to spend all that money. I thought, perfect wedding time.
Why were your colors green and red? Right? Well, because that's the way it was.
I often thought that would be great. The church is already lovely decorated just for your wedding.
If you look at the cost of flowers, it makes a lot of sense. Right?
I thought so.
Minus having to wear like thermal tuxedos if it's cold
out.
You
don't need to wear thermal tuxedos. And I always thought wedding dresses with a nice like fur, like shawly kind of cape thing over it would be pretty.
Like, why not? The movie, like the
I
movie
got
Frozen?
Married in June, so what do I know? But I thought that would be a really nice time because it's already all dressed up and decorated for you.
There are no thermal tuxedos, by the way.